Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for coming this afternoon. My name is Christina Shong, and I would like to welcome you to the Delta Residents Association All Candidates Meeting for Municipal Election. First, I would like to acknowledge the traditional territory of the Tsawwassen and Musqueam First Nations and all the Hankuyam speaking people who have been stewards of this land since time immemorial. We would also like to offer our respect to all the elders who have gone before us and to the elders of the First Nations people who are with us today. Also, I would like to, at the beginning, thank all the candidates for coming to this important meeting and all the volunteers who have given their time to help host and put this meeting together. Just want to tell you a little bit about our association. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan group of local residents whose goal is to inform people about issues important to Delta residents. Our second goal is to encourage residents to participate in the democratic process, and our third goal is to bring all three Delta communities together. 10 minutes earlier, we have drawn names to decide who will be going first. We will have time for the three mayor candidates to introduce themselves. They will get 2 minutes each to introduce themselves. And then we will have two specific questions for the mayor candidates, and they have 2 minutes each to answer those questions. After that, we will just ask them to take a seat down here, and then we'll have three councillor candidates. Hold it. Is there one councillor missing? Monica Colvin? Yeah. Is she not here today? Okay. All right. If anyone wants to text Monica, maybe she's having issues with parking or doesn't know where she was, let her know that, you know, she can still come and join us, hopefully. Monica will be here. Okay, so if we have now even numbers of candidates, then maybe what we'll do is we will just have introductions for all the candidates first. Everyone will have 1 minute each to introduce themselves, and then we will have candidates sit up here and answer specific questions, and then we will change up the questions. Now, unfortunately, there are more questions than there is time for everyone to answer the questions. So this evening, I will also be emailing all the candidates here your questions that you've submitted, and I will ask them for a written response, and that will be posted on our website by the end of the week. So that's how I'm going to try to manage it, because there are so many questions and not enough time, and we need to leave here by 3 o'clock. All right, so are there any questions from the candidates? You're clear as to what we're doing? Okay, so I'm just going to give the time now for the mayor candidates to each have 2 minutes to introduce themselves. And so we'll start with Peter.
First of all, I'd like to thank everybody here for coming. I'd like to thank Christina and the North Delta Residents Association for putting this on. I really appreciate it. My name is Peter Vanderbilt. I'm a retired construction manager. I've managed contracts and departments with multi-million dollar budgets in both the private sector and with British Columbia Buildings Ground Corporation. I've spent one term on Silverton Council in the Kootenays and chaired committees and community boards and have extensive experience with dealing with bureaucracy. I've owned and operated three small businesses, one in California, one in Washington State, and one here in Vancouver. And I was instrumental in forming a Inspectors Association for British Columbia. I've managed the remediation of contaminated highway charts in the East Kootenays for the Ground Corporation, and I have a strong understanding of environmental issues. I'm running for mayor because I think the current council is supporting a significant increase in the LNG production at Tilbury Island. This increase will put our community at great risk and is unnecessarily dangerous to our environment and our community. We cannot continue to subsidize fossil fuels. LNG is methane gas. Methane gas is not natural gas. It's not green gas. It's not clean gas. It's a fossil fuel. Okay, I also have concerns about how housing is being handled and developed. I want to know how our community and community services can deal with COVID aftermath and the actual overdose issues and the crime that is subsequent and following this kind of drug abuse. Those are the reasons I'm running for council. My name is Peter Vanderbilt, and I'm running for mayor as independent.
Oh, thank you, Peter, and I'd like to thank everybody who's here also, and also the North Delta Residents Association for having us here today. My name is George Harvey. I've been very proud over the last 4 years to be your mayor. And it's been quite a 4 years. We started off very quickly and ensured that all the promises that we made in 2018, we did. And then we had COVID, and that was something which no other local governments, provincial or federal, had ever gone through. We did very well. I was glad that I showed strong leadership. I worked with the province. We declared a state of emergency, the first government body that did that in BC. And I did that for a reason, and that was to ensure that we could get off to a good start. We actually had one individual that refused to close his business up here on Scott Road. We closed that business. We also came out of COVID in a situation where I'm so proud. We had the highest double vaccination rate in the province. Another thing I was successful on is after the provincial government announced North Delta here, over 65,000 population, we didn't have their own vaccination clinic, but I managed to change that. I actually got the premier to change his mind, and certainly our relationships with Fraser Health has flourished. We offered our facilities both in South Delta and North Delta for $1 a month. My goal was to ensure that we had access to vaccinations. We activated the seniors bus. We took people to the vaccination centers that couldn't drive, and we delivered food to them also, those people that we knew were having difficulties getting out. But we also just didn't stay stagnant. We did reduce our anticipated taxes, property taxes, but we helped secure almost $6 million in funding with regards to building the beautiful North Delta track just down the road. That was something that's been needed in this community for many, many years, and I'm so glad that we accomplished it. But we're not finished there yet. We still have a field house that we built later. We've updated tracks throughout Delta. We upgraded pickleball courts. And we built the first ever cricket pitch at Delview Park. And also, thank you. I take it that was the alarm?
Yes.
Okay. More to say later.
I, Yogendra Randhawa, running for me from North Delta, for whole Delta. And Delta is in silos. Like, North Delta is like not united with Ladner, and Ladner is also separate from Dwarsan. So we want to strengthen the bond and unity between all the three. And I will try to do that. Number two, my top priority will be for the seniors in that. And the schools like daycares and preschools where the kids with autism, diabetes, allergies, we don't have enough nurses and EA teachers. So I will reckon on that and try to accomplish. Also, the agriculture land reserve properties I will review, and by discussion with all the farmers and stakeholders, pass new bylaws according to new standards. Instead of massive tunnel, bridge will be constructed. And furthermore, I will look after for the safety of Delta. Crime is borderless. Delta police will be provided with the latest digital tools. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, candidates running for mayor. We will then have you stay on the stage as we begin with specific questions. You're going to get two specific questions. The first one, can we get the first question up, please, Henry? Okay, this is the first question. I've had numerous emails about this topic. So there will be one question for mayors about this topic, and then later one question related to this topic for the counselors. And let me just read the question for you. And can you just run up and just let them put it on their table so they can see the question? So it's a fancy question for guys. All right, so the question is, how do you weight public input? What would be the other factors when deciding on an issue, and how would you communicate this when announcing your decision? For example, changes were made in the 2021 to the Ladner Village Town Center Plan to potentially allow buildings up to 6 stories in this heritage-themed village. According to city records, 684 Delta residents spoke against this change, and only 80 residents were in favor of this change. So the question once again is, how do you weight public input? What would be the other factors you have in deciding on an issue, and how would you communicate this when announcing your decision? So since we are going to have a different speaker start each round, this time it's George Harvey's turn to speak first, but all three of you will get to have 2 minutes to answer this question. All right?
Oh, thank you, and I remember the challenges that we faced at City Council to ensure that we were listening to everybody. And personally, I really like to ensure that there's the open process for everybody to contribute to the conversation. For too many years, we've been asking people to come to City Hall all the way down the ladder. It didn't work for people up here, of course. But fortunately, as one of the positives, if we can talk about positives that came from going through COVID, the provincial government, and I spoke to them personally about this, opened up the opportunities for public input, including you could do it by Zoom, you could do it by telephone, or you could do it in person. And you could also write. And when I look at projects that are going through a public hearing, public information process, I really like to listen to everybody and giving everybody the opportunity. I felt, with regards to I supported the plan, I listened to the Ladner Business Association, I listened to many residents, I listened to my council members, and I also listened to the general public. But I feel that we've made great movements by utilizing social media nowadays to get input. Our social media channels are very robust. They're open for everybody. And when I look at how many people are using Delta Talk, that they can come in at any time and ask questions or give their opinions. All that goes to council. The other thing I want to impress upon you is that as mayor, I do all my own emails. Usually done between 5:30 in the morning. Some members of council say that I'm their alarm clock. But that's so important that the mayor actually answers his own emails, and I do phone calls, and I make surprise visits to everybody. And now that we've been door knocking, over 8,000 homes so far throughout the community, that feedback is also extremely important. So thank you for the opportunity to address that question.
Jaginder, you're the next person. You have 2 minutes to answer the question. Do you need the piece of paper to read, or is it okay?
I couldn't hear that.
There's a question again.
You can repeat the question.
I will repeat the question. How do you weigh public input? What would be the other factors when deciding on an issue, and how would you communicate this when announcing your decision?
Yeah. First of all, we lack Chamber of Commerce, which is the leading factor for communication for all kind of businesses, small or big, and development. And the channel, we all citizens, we must give feedback to the council, and council should act with the Chamber of Commerce and also trade center activities. And moreover, for information, my office will be open for all the time, and I will be, you can come to open doors to see me, and I will be mingling in the community, not sitting, just hiding. I'll be out there among my community for all kind of information, and people can also use media, other communication channels, so they can be by email, by WhatsApp messages, or by telephone. Moreover, we must strengthen our Chamber of Commerce and the trade center. So our business grew. Day one guy told me he doesn't get food here. European food is not at all. So due to COVID, things have shifted a lot more. And we need to attract businesses and all kind of food resources for the people living in North Delta. And even maybe in Lagner too, he said to me he had to go to White Rock for taking food. Thank you.
Actually, before we have clear answers, I'm going to raise it. Anyway, we can turn off my microphone. Is Anne-Marie here?
Yes.
Turn off my microphone because it's feedback. Is there any way? Okay, thank you.
All right, Peter?
Thank you for that question. I think it's a very important one. I've only knocked on about 1,000 doors so far, and I've heard a lot of frustration from people. I think one of the things that has been said is that the council hasn't been responsive enough to public input, and that the committees that the council has struck haven't had enough power to actually be effective at what they're supposed to be doing, which is to advise council on the public and the feel of the public that's out there regarding each of these issues. One of the things that I would like to introduce here at some point in time, or at least look at, is the ward system, where each one of our areas is represented by people in council, so that we actually have a voice for each one of our communities. I think that council is supposed to be much more responsive to public input. I think that one of the reasons people have lost interest in governance is because they feel not respected or not heard, and I think that needs to change. And if we change it at the local level, I think people will start taking a greater interest in politics in general and in our community issues. I think that that is going to be very difficult, but it is not beyond hope, and I think that by using the tools that council has, we can be much more effective at public awareness and using public input. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
I have. Okay, you're gone now. The next question we have, and if you put the next question up. This one, I have had countless people talk to me about this issue, so it's a popular one, just so that you know. And the first person speaking will be Jaginder, right? So maybe just, does he have the microphone? I'll pass him the mic. I'll let me read the question. Let me read the question right now, and also can you give me the question?
Just give
them a question. Yeah. So give that to the first. The question is, many residential properties in North Delta have been redeveloped to become quote unquote monster homes. That was how the person phrased it. Which extend to property lines, including below level, ground level basement suites, the cutting down of substantial number of mature trees, and the paving over of vegetation around the property. All of this negatively impacts the environmental integrity of the surrounding habitats. Please comment on how do you feel about this, or, please comment on how you feel this does or does not reconcile with with the City of Delta's foundation for the future, which is ours to preserve the environment.
Our pioneers of Delta, they have set some rules, and those rules are not being followed for the environment. And these properties, trees, and birds-like places must be well protected, and we should get funding from the provincial government to do much more as it is today. We should have more passages, walkways, and also we need to have kind of, I can say, the new trees to be planted. And provincial government, we can lobby for all these problems. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jaginder. Our next speaker will be Peter on this topic. Do you need me to read it again, or actually you have a piece of paper?
I have it here, thank you. I think this is a really important question. Again, it's something that a lot of people have been wanting to talk to me about when I've been knocking on doors. I think the tree policy set by the last council needs to be revisited. I think we also need to look at what Vancouver has done for the removal of trees erroneously. There's heavy-duty fines for that, and I think we need to look at that sort of situation. The housing question itself, I think, is also central to what people's concerns are in both North and South Delta. And I think these things need to be looked at from a complete perspective of planning for our communities so that we have the right mix of high density and infrastructure to serve that high density. I think that there's some possibilities out there for multi-development of these big lots so that we have more medium-style density within the city. This has to be done within areas that can actually accommodate it with infrastructure, i.e. roads, etc. But I think the tree issue is something that, again, in Tawasin has really come up strongly, and people feel really strongly that last year's decisions by council need to be revisited. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Peter. And then, George Harvey, you have 2 minutes for this question.
Oh, thank you. And Peter, I hadn't heard of the concern on the door knocking that I've done among my other fellow candidates for the Chief and Delta team. I just want to say that I don't know any property that's built over the property line. That is totally false. We have strong, strong bylaws that prevent that. We have inspections that prevent that. In fact, we have put stop work orders when they've encroached too closely. So I don't believe that at all. But I do want to support continuing having a very robust bylaw department and inspectors that will go out and ensure the buildings are built according to plans. I want to talk about the tree canopy. There's a really good article a couple weeks ago in the Vancouver Sun where it's mentioned only three cities in all of Metro Vancouver actually increased the tree canopy. One was Vancouver, two was Delta, and three was Waymark. We are planted and have planted over 1,000 trees in 2021. 2022, we'll be doing more than that. Our tree bylaw was just redone and enforced more, and when we talked to people up here in North Delta, they realized that we do not have the power to stop the construction of houses that meet the density. This is in the Local Government Act. We do not have that power. But we do have and work with developers to try to see if we can redo driveways to save significant trees. We work with developers to see if we can increase the landscaping, increase the coverage. But the tree bylaws, I want to give it another couple of years because it's just been redone. It's one of the strongest in the Lower Mainland, and we are doing everything possible to ensure that we're not only increasing, but in working with our school trustees is our next step to plant more trees on school board property. There's only one Delta, and it's not divided between the school board and council. It's everybody's property. So I look forward to hopefully having the chance to encourage and still continue the growth of a tree canopy. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor, for
speaking on these issues. I just got to ask if... I'm just going to ask if you can step down and take a seat down here. And we're just going to ask, is Monica Coleman here yet? Monica? She is. Come on up. Sit down. Sit up here. Okay, so we do have odd numbers of people. So can I just ask the first three councillors to come up, which would be 1, 2, 3. Yeah, and just take a seat up here and bring your name tags. And 2 minutes to answer a specific question. Does that make sense? Okay.
All right.
Okay, we can start. We have 1 minute.
My name is Dr. Maha Balakumar. I serve the community of Delta as a medical doctor for 32 years. My medical career spans over 40 years. You know,
is your mic on?
Sorry. Okay, can I start again then?
Yes.
Okay. So my name is Dr. Maha Balakumar. I serve the community of Delta as a medical doctor for 22 years. My medical career spans over 40 years. You know, throughout my medical career, I'm used to looking at problems, simple and complicated, and making informed decisions based on thorough analysis and critical thinking. As a counselor, I will use the same habit to make good decisions in counsel. I believe that you need to have independent voices in counsel for constructive debate, to ask the tough questions, and for good governance. Having said that, I'm standing to be that independent voice of reason and common sense in counsel. I'll be accountable only to you and the residents of Delta, and I don't have to throw a party line. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Brian Reed. I was born in North Delta, playing a variety of sports, curling, soccer, hockey, lacrosse, and enjoyed the facilities Delta had to offer. I began working at an early age at Nordell Home Hardware under the mentorship of Ram Dadani, who you might know. I was taught great work ethics from him and began working for him at a very young age. As the years passed on, I decided to start my own gardening business when I wasn't working at the hardware store. The two jobs overlapped for years. Then I started working at Coast Mountain Bus Company, taking the money out of the fare boxes. So many of you have seen my truck running around in North Delta with my RE/MAX sign blown all over. I'm used to working 7 days a week, long hours. Therefore, I am here for you and to work for you.
Thank you. Yeah, good afternoon. My name is Daniel Bobert. I am a lifelong resident of Delta and professionally a notary public. I have many years of governance experience and I'm currently an elected school trustee and also president of the BC Notaries Association. I have two children who have grown up in Delta and, like me before them, have benefited from Delta schools, programs offered through Delta Parks and Rec, and have always felt the safety and security provided by our police and fire departments. A vote for me and my Achieving for Delta team is a vote you can make in confidence that we will objectively carry out our duties to keep the city as one of the best places to live in Canada. We will place specific emphasis on public safety, improving our parks and rec facilities, dealing with the current housing crisis, and of course climate change, while at the same time remaining fiscally responsible. We understand that tax dollars are your dollars and not ours, and we must be strong stewards of these funds. I'm asking for you to place your trust in me and the entire Achieving for Delta team. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And can we have the first specific question for the counselors, Henry? On the overhead? Okay. Let me give you the question. Here's the question. It will be Ryan, the first person to answer. Oh, no, we have the next. Can you advance to the next slide, please, Emery? Okay, so this is the next question we're going to be asking. It's many Delta residents feel that Ladner Village and the Ladner Waterfront are unique. Do you feel the deletion of a laneway and the consolidation of a full Ladner Village block to allow a large six-story mixed-use development complex in the heart of Ladner Village would help keep the character, the charm, and the scale of Ladner Village? Also, how do you plan to deal with some of the infrastructure issues? What is your plan on dealing with what is your plan on dealing with the possibility of adding 1,000 plus cars to the village once the density goals are met.
Okay, I think in Ladner there, you kind of have to keep Ladner the way it is. It's kind of unique. I don't think building a six-story rise there or big complex is the way to go. I think maybe redoing it to a way where it joins with the rest of Ladner there would be my opinion. I think there you have to keep the infrastructure the same, but maybe beautify it in such a way.
Thank you. And Daniel? Yeah. It's 2 minutes.
Yeah, sorry. I certainly understand the concerns. I grew up in Ladner, so I spent lots of time in that village. And I think it's very right. There is a nice character and a nice charm to Ladner Village, and I don't think that is something that needs to be lost or should be lost. I certainly know that we need more housing solutions. We need to provide, and we're definitely in a housing crisis. We have a real lack of supply and a real lack of alternatives for housing, and that's something that we need to take very seriously. People should not be forced out of our community simply because they can't afford a $1.5 million home. So these are things that are important. As far as density and stories, that sort of thing, that all needs to be taken into consideration and certainly needs to have public input. I know that there's a lot of work there still to be done, and I look forward to undertaking that on behalf of the people of Delta.
Yeah, hi. I have talked to some of the voters and residents around Ladner Village in Ladner Village, and for as far as I have heard, no one is very happy about the six-story building. It seems to be Ladner Village is losing its character and beauty. Ladner Village has survived as a village for years and years, and so it all depends on what direction the council wants to go. But from what I hear from all the residents and voters there, that they keep the character of the village is the most important thing, because you can't build another business area with without the village atmosphere, because your people are going to go to the malls to get their other items. So only the way to revitalize the Ladner Village is to keep the character of the village, like Granville Village, something like that, and do a business revitalization instead of putting big tall buildings there. That's my view about it. And having said that, in terms of the cars, yes, that's going to be a big problem. So I don't know what that. I think city planners have to work on that. Whether changing, it will lose the character, you know, really bringing up the influx of people. So it's a balancing act for that, I would say. Whether changing lanes into one ways and things like that, I'm not trying to say that's what I'm going to promote, but it's a matter of thing to think about. So, having said that, I think I would personally like to see the Ladner Village being revitalized as a village and nothing else. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. I'm just going to ask the three candidates just to go back to their seats, and we're just going to ask two candidates to come up, and that would be Alicia and Monica. Do you want to go up there? So, 1 minute for the interview. Okay, and so we have 1 minute for the introductory comments, and then you'll get a specific question, which is 2 minutes. So this is 1 minute intro.
Great. Hi there. I'd like to thank the Delta Residents Association for having us out today. My name is Alicia Gishon, and I'm running for re-election to City Council on George Farley's Achieving for Delta team. I have grown up living and working in this community, and I've called Delta home for my entire life. I come from five generations of farming in the Ladner area, and am currently raising the sixth generation with my almost two-year-old son. My sister and I continue on our family tradition with our seasonal farm market in Tawasin, where you can find me most days. I was first elected in 2018, and I'm very passionate about the preservation and enhancement of our agricultural lands, natural assets, and keeping farming viable as a local industry in Delta. It is more than passion for me, it's also my way of life. I'm running for re-election with the Achieving for Delta team to continue to be a voice for everyday people on council and help make decisions for a thriving Delta community.
Hello, I'm Monica Colvin, and I've been a business owner for over 30 years in Delta and a resident for 17. I have watched this council and listened to some of the answers from the mayor, and then before considering running, I'm very concerned that there's a lack of democracy and there's a lack of accessibility for everybody to council. The council meetings are now limited, the agendas are massive, and public hearings are very, very few and far between. So we ask questions, but the questions, even though there's only six council people, those council people should have an open door policy, which is what I plan to have, is a direct line and an email whereby you can call anytime and the phone will be answered. Because our ideas are ours. We should be representing your ideas. And I see a very huge crevice in that right now, and it's not working for the residents, and it's not working for myself either as a business person and resident. Thank you.
Can you hold on to your mic? Yes. Because on the specific question, you'll get to answer first. You'll get to answer first. So, Andrew, can you just ask the next question about the smaller homes? That one. Okay. So, first of all, let me give you some background information. Sorry.
Please let me give you some background information about the smaller homes question that was sent in by Kathleen Higgins. So, basically, the Higgins are now living in a smaller home on a smaller lot, and they said that they're going to come by at the end of this meeting. Right now they're kind of busy with a different engagement in Vancouver, but they'll be here by about 2:30 or so, and they plan on showing you a model and giving you pamphlets if you're interested in finding out about the smaller homes on smaller lots issue. Anyhow, the Higgins have built a smaller house on a smaller lot in 2019. They say it's wonderful. Also, there are three young adult children, all who have ordinary incomes, each own a ground-oriented smaller home with no strata fees, as well as John and Kathleen themselves. If the approval process hadn't taken so long, and if they hadn't had to pay over $66,000 in extra fees, the $66 is compared to if they had built a one big house instead of a smaller home, and also they had to pay $50,000 deposit, then the house would have been even more affordable. So let me just give you the question first.
Okay, I'll start speaking.
Just let me read the question to the audience. The question that Kathleen submitted is, since affordable home ownership is more and more difficult for ordinary residents of Delta, will the candidates commit to pre-zoning, pre-approved plans, and reduce and defer fees and deposits for homeowners who want to replace their older home with smaller homes on smaller lots like the Higgins project? Okay, you have 2 minutes to answer.
Okay, so the Higgins project was very controversial, and it was all done under the stewardship of George Harvey as the city manager. It was atrocious. It cost the Higgins a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of angst. They put, as I understand it, and Kathleen, it'd be wonderful to invite me into your home to look at it, which I will, but I believe they put three small homes in one lot, and the square footage, the issue with this question here is it's a little more than 2 minutes. If somebody wants to redo their home and it's the same square footage as what the existing square footage is, they also looked at parking. They weren't taking any more parking up, as I understand, and it was atrocious. I have no idea. I'm from Denmark originally. And everybody in Denmark lives in small homes, and it just is the way of life, and it's not really that small because, of course, everyone's infatuation with IKEA right now is that if you live a little more effectively, you don't need large homes. I am totally in favor of looking at this, and this was a very big issue for last election. We were promised this would be done. It hasn't been done. And it was one of the reasons I ran last election, was this very, very issue. And it's a hot topic here in North Delta. These people, I'll quickly, really fast, somebody's, I was in city planning, a tree fell in someone's house. All they wanted to do, they came to the city hall and said, oh, I'm just going to put a canopy so it doesn't happen again. Oh my gosh, no, that can't happen. He wasn't putting any more square footage in. He had to have architectural drawings, permits, everything. It was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. And this has continued now, and in 4 years, nothing has been done, although it's been highly promised. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I had the opportunity to meet with Kathleen on my last term as council. They came and presented to council. I had the opportunity as well to visit the homes, which were truly innovative, very neighborhoodly. Like, I love to keep a neighborhood feel, and the innovation to have four small lots and keeping generations of family together is something that I feel very strongly about. It's not inhibiting to the neighborhood as much as perhaps a big change in townhomes or anything a little larger. Mayor Harvey's goal this term would be to, we need to do some work in our planning department, and those barriers do not help the affordability at all in what Kathleen was saying. And reduction in cost would be my target to encourage these kinds of developments, and Mayor Harvey is supportive of that and his leadership. I'm committed to making that happen this term. So it was really great to see Kathleen's homes, and it did happen before my term on council, but it was really great to get all the information and see how it's worked, see how it's done through the years, and I think it's just a really great way to keep families together and help with affordability. So I'm very much looking forward to hopefully being able to do more in our planning department to cut costs and target these types of projects.
All right, thank you very much. We're just going to ask you to step down. And the next two would be Rod and John.
Jules.
So you're sitting right there. Make sure your mic is on. Okay, our next speakers are Julian and Rod, and they each have 1 minute to give an introductory statement. Julian will go first with the introduction, and then when we get to the specific question, Ron will be the first speaker for the specific question. Is that okay? All right, so go ahead.
All right, so my name is Julian Jock, and I'm a recent Latinite, and I'm a little nervous, but I'm not used to public speaking. What brought me to Ladner, though, a few years ago, is that I was walking down one of the dikes early in the morning, and I saw a runner and a couple come out of the bush, and the couple had a shotgun in their hand because they were hunting, and they walked across from each other, and they both waved and said, "Hi, how was your day?" And anyways, that made me want to move to Ladner because it made me feel like there's an actual community here. And I am running as an independent, so my goal is really just to keep that community first feel in all of Delta. And vote for Julian. I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but I am trying, and I'm very, like, young. I'm 35, and it'd be nice to have more representation from young people. Thanks.
Good afternoon. Good to see everybody here. Thank you for hosting this event from the Delta Residents Association. My name is Rod Biner, and I've been living in North Delta for over 30 years, where my wife and I raised our two now adult children. Professionally, I am a senior executive with more than 30 years of experience in managing marketing and brand building programs for Fortune 500 companies around North America. During the last 15 years, I have served as a director on numerous corporate and nonprofit boards. I'm running for council to continue my record of service to this community. In 2012, I was appointed by the Mayor and Council to serve on the North Delta Area Planning Committee, which was approved in 2016. I currently serve as Vice President of Delta Assist Family and Community Services. I'm the former Chair and now Treasurer of the Delta Police Foundation. Since 2013, I have been annually selected as a Commissioner for the Delta Parks and Recreation and Culture Commission. During our time now, I look forward to sharing my ideas and views. And in my closing remarks this afternoon, I will share my vision and commitment to our community and why I believe the Achieving for Delta team should be supported under Mayor George Harvey. Thank you.
Have a specific question. Let me run up there. That's right. Let me just give it, and I think Law is the first speaker of the questioning. So let me just read the specific question to the audience. It is about LNG. Considering that Canada is wanting to reduce greenhouse emissions, what is your opinion about the liquid natural gas expansion at Tilbury? Also, are you comfortable with the possible fire and safety issues of the plant, considering its location in the burn fog? And he has 2 minutes to answer the question.
Who goes first? I guess go first, you know, the interesting thing about our environment right now is that we are all looking at alternatives. We're seeing the growth of the EV cars. We're seeing people that are struggling with high fuel costs. And these are all realities that we need solutions for. And I don't have a lot of knowledge about the different fuels that are out there, but I know one thing is that we do need to make some changes. LNG is a much better option than certainly many of the coal solutions that are around the world. And this is going to be a journey that we're all going to go on together. If there is an LNG plant, and if this is replacing coal fuel in various parts of our world, then let's embrace that for the time and continue to seek other alternatives. Hydroelectric is a wonderful, wonderful benefit that we have in the province of British Columbia, but we know that we are one of the unique parts of the world that are privileged with that. So having LNG as a solution right now, I think is a good one, and we continue to look for alternatives. As far as risks to Burns Fog, we are privileged to have an extremely well-resourced and well-trained firefighting team in the community of Delta. I live right on the cliff overlooking Burns Fog. We watched the fires a few years ago. We watched how frightening that was and wondering if it was going to jump over that highway and take out our community and other parts of North Delta where I've lived here for 30 years. Our firefighting team got in there and worked very, very hard, and they suppressed that fire. They're extremely well trained. We have tremendous safety, and I know for a fact that our bog is going to be very, very well protected by our firefighting team, and I'm also confident that all safety will be absolutely managed with regards to any facilities in our community. We will not compromise safety in any way, shape, or form, and that is an absolute commitment that we will hold our mayor and council to, and that's my commitment as well.
I think you had a great answer. We have to be reasonable with environmental issues. Obviously, it's a problem. I would have to educate myself a little bit more, but I think that was great. That would be my answer.
Okay, thank you. You can step back down. We're just going to ask the next people who are Pam and Jesse to please go on the stage and take a minute. Questions, you have 1 minute to make an introductory statement. So Pam, you get to go first for 1 minute, and then Jesse, you'll have 1 minute for the introduction.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Pam Swanigan. I've lived on the West Coast for most of my 58 years and in Delta since 2017. I have a doctoral degree in English literature, and I work mainly as a writer. I'm running because, with one exception, I see current council acting with reckless disregard for community livability and the environment. This council isn't even at blah, blah, blah. They're still back at la, la, la. For example, how many mentions of the environment in Mayor Harvey's housing plan? Zero. How many mentions of the environment in Councillor Kruger's revitalization plan? Zero. How many sustainability regulations for new developments? Zero. How many dollars to cut down a mature indigenous tree on a private lot? Zero. How many mature trees on private lots cut down between 2018 and 2020? 2,400. Why are they letting developers plan our communities? Why are we getting so little back in return? That is why what I would change if I were on council.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm Jesse DeSanz, a resident of Delta for the last 40 years. Professionally, I have dedicated my life as a coach to development of our youth to become model citizens of our society. I'm proud to have coached youth who have done Canada proud by representing our country at the international stage. My mentorship has inspired many to excel in academics through sports scholarships in universities. In recognition of my contributions, it is my honor to be inducted in the BC Athletics Hall of Fame. It is my privilege to be elected serve as a Delta School Trustee for the last 4 years. I'm humbled and honored to be asked to run with this dynamic, diverse, and experienced achieving for Delta team by Mayor George Harvey, who I admire for his vision and strong leadership. Thank you.
All right. We're just going to let Jesse speak first on the specific question, which is, what do you think are about the two? Foster, did I give you the little piece of paper? Do I have it? And the question is, what do you think about the two competing proposals for expansion at Delta Port? One is called T2 and the other is called Delta Port Berth 4.
Councillors in Delta have voted unanimously against the port of Vancouver's Robert Bank Terminal 2nd. And right now it's in a stage. We are waiting for an environmental assessment from Federal's side. So right now I cannot say much about it. So we have to wait, and when we have it on a table, we will consider and get the public consultations on that topic. Thank you.
Thank you. What do I think? I think no. That's what I think. And I don't think we have to wait. Environment Canada has said this is disastrous for the Fraser River. Bird Studies Canada has said this is disastrous for the Fraser River. Delta Port 1, Terminal 1, has been disastrous. The young salmon come out and they need to eat the eelgrass. They cannot tolerate the salt water. That's as far out. And they don't know. They don't have a map. Nobody's saying to them, hey, swim almost a mile out, go around the other side, come back in, and you'll find your eelgrass. They're starving because nobody even thought to put a pass-through for marine wildlife in Terminal 1. So they're completely blocked. Every environmental agency that has looked at this has said it's an irreparable disaster. So I say, not only neither of those things, but the one that does exist, let's negotiate with them to retrofit some marine pass-through so that the salmon stop starving because we put this gigantic cement behemoth in the middle of the mouth to the Fraser River, one of the greatest rivers in the world, and we are stewards of it. We are stewards of it. If we were on the David Attenborough show, you know, we would be the bad guys. We would be the ones who, they go, sadly, you know, this beautiful environment is being destroyed by kind of the stupid people who live here. I don't think we are stupid people, you know. I think most of us want to see our ecology preserved, not paved over. And certainly that's my answer to that.
Jesse to step down and then two more people to come up.
Appreciate it, thanks.
just going to ask our next two guests to speak 1 minute each on an introduction. And then after your 1 minute introduction, then you'll have a specific question. And then you'll have 2 minutes to answer the specific question. So Duncan, would you like to get started with your 1 minute intro?
Hello. Sorry about that. My name is Duncan Callender. We lived in Delta for 52 years, 2 years in Lander and 50 years in North Delta. My wife and I, our first house was $16,000. At the time, we both had to work to pay for the mortgage, but housing prices are way out of whack now. I worked in the film business for 38 years, so I've had to compute into Vancouver, different locations, every day. I'm a little bit nervous, of course. But the only thing I can say is I'm used to working 80-hour weeks. So if I was elected, you can be assured that anybody had questions or problems, they could always contact me, because sometimes it's very hard to get answers through counselors. And the other thing that drives me crazy is not everybody is computer savvy or has a computer. Never mind just older people, it's everybody. So that's me.
Well, hi everyone, my name is Dylan Kruger. I'm born and raised here in Delta, and it's been my honor to represent you on Delta Council since 2018. My wife and I were proud to welcome our daughter Sophia into the world just 3 months ago, and I see my wife and my daughter here along with two very proud grandmothers in the back, so glad they were able to make it out. Being a new dad has certainly refocused my priorities and given new focus to my work on council. I want to help build the Delta that my daughter will grow up in. And I mean strong investment in our parks and recreation capital assets, an emphasis on public safety, keeping Delta among the safest communities in Metro Vancouver, and addressing the urgent issues of our generation, the housing crisis, and climate change. We also need to continue to work to make Delta an inclusive place for everyone. So I'm asking for you to place your trust in me and the entire Chief for Delta team to tackle these issues and keep Delta moving forward. I totally agree on accessibility. Got my phone number published for the last 4 years, 604-813-0058. Call or text me anytime.
Thank you. And the specific question, you're starting first. Sorry? Yeah, and let me read for the audience what the specific question is. What do you think Delta has done well these last 4 years, and what do you think needs attention in the coming 4 years?
Well, as the mayor mentioned, I am quite proud of how the city responded to the challenges of the pandemic. That was unlike anything we've ever seen in our city's history. And thank goodness we had a former city manager at the helm as our mayor, because we came out of that situation in a very strong fiscal situation at a time where we really weren't sure there was no precedent for it. So that was certainly a success. I'm proud of some of the innovative pilot projects we worked on over the last 4 years. We were actually the first city in Metro Vancouver to do the expanded patio program as a result of the pandemic. And we learned that actually our residents quite enjoyed it. It was not just good for the business community, but it was good for the vitality of our town centers. We've also had pilots with the pop-up park program and responsible drinking in parks and providing more opportunities for families who live in Delta to have activities in Delta. Got a lot more to do. I mentioned two of them in my opening statement. I think the housing crisis is a very serious one, and I get very emotional thinking about all the friends that I grew up with that are also starting their families like I am and moving out to Hope or Vancouver Island or Alberta. We've always been a city for families. Our local economy depends on having young people living in it. We've got to continue to provide opportunities for young people who grew up in Delta to stay in Delta, as well as seniors who are looking to downsize to find downsizing options in our community. Big fan of the Higgins Project, by the way. I see Kathleen here in the back. Great to see you. So that's one, and of course, climate change as well. We've got a lot to do. Proud of the motion that our council passed unanimously, Mayor Harvey's climate motion in 2019. We are working very hard to replace, through attrition, our fleet of municipal vehicles with electric vehicles. We've installed electric vehicle charging stations throughout the community. We are planting 1,000 trees a year, as been mentioned. We've got to continue to find ways to reduce emissions and get towards a carbon neutral community. A lot of that also has to do with providing active transportation solutions when it comes to cycling and pedestrian connections across our community. So that's something we can certainly do a lot more of in the next 4 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the things that Delta did very well before the pandemic was to have a meeting up here in North Delta for the residents. The only thing that was disappointing about it was they spent time with somebody from the Vancouver Airport, which had nothing to do with North Delta, and they talked about some other things about maybe Ladder and Tawasin. I would like to see in the future, any time that we have a meeting up here, and it should be maybe every other council meeting in North Delta, they talk about things that are responsible for North Delta and to North Delta residents. Because it's wonderful to think about what goes on in Ladner, but we all live in North Delta, so we want to know what's happening here. Now, the next 4 years is going to be very crucial because we have an expansion of people coming. There's going to be more building. There's also going to be possible high rises that are going to go up Scott Road. Yeah, I know, but it was in the planning a long time ago before George Harvey, the possibility of going from 72nd up to 96th. In the future, that might happen, but they have to have the infrastructure. They have to go after transit to get better transit out here. Now, all the time that I had to drive into work, if I could have got a bus at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to get down to a production or to a studio and back home again, I would have never driven a car. So the biggest thing is we're going to have an expansion, maybe more jobs in Surrey and Delta to have people so they don't have to travel into Vancouver and not necessary for work. So like I say, in the next 4 years, and I would like to thank everybody else that's spoken up here because it's given me a lot of things to think about, just as a voter. You got a chance to vote in a council, but the councillors, oh, sorry, got yellow, have to be responsible for everybody here, so get hold of them. Say thank you.
All right, thank you very much. At this time, I'm just going to ask three mayors, candidates, to come back up. So what's going to happen now is we're going to have time for closing statements. I received more questions from the audience, and I have more questions that were submitted to me by email, of which I do not have time to ask all of you. So all of you, I will be emailing questions to. And then I will be asking for a written response in about a week's time and posting them on our website. And these I will be sending all of you email this evening. So what we're going to do is the three mayor candidates have 2 minutes each to make a closing statement. You can talk about anything you like. Okay, and then when it's turn for the candidates, you each have 1 minute each to make a closing statement. You can talk about anything you like. And then after everyone is done, that is 20 minutes later. So I'm going to thank you for your patience ahead of time. Is it okay we just start with Peter? I lost track of the order.
Is that okay? I started last time.
You started last time, so does that mean you should start with George? Is that correct? Okay, so George, you have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Well, thank you. And as everybody can appreciate, Delta is a challenging road ahead of us. I am not satisfied with being rated as one of the best places to live, work, and play in Canada. I want to achieve being the best place to live, work, and play in Canada. And of course, we have so much more to do. As I mentioned before, our team has knocked on over 8,000 doors since June. What we have routinely heard was that the large majority of residents are satisfied and want us to continue infrastructure improvements, keeping our Delta Police and Delta Fire properly funded and taxes low. Residents also mentioned concerns of the lack of ambulances for calls here in Delta. As Mayor, I'm currently speaking to our provincial government and directly with our Minister of Health on this. The current ambulance system is broken, and I have been working with other metro mayors on pressing the provincial government for changes. I am committed to improving the provincial dispatch of our firefighters to emergency medical calls so they can assist our residents until an ambulance arrives. We have also heard from residents that they enjoy Delta special events such as Boundary Bay Air Show, Luminary Festival, parades, pop-up parks, and other free events. We need now more than ever to celebrate our city much more. My record in having Delta Royal run and accountable speaks for itself. I'm asking for your vote for another term to complete my vision including keeping Delta Families First program as a priority in our services. Continue the free recreation passes for all our students between grades 5 to 12. It'll keep them away from the gangs, and free recreation passes for seniors 75 and over. They've already paid enough taxes. And I want to continue building on success on relationships that I've established with both our provincial and federal governments. But most importantly, and it's something that hasn't been said by anybody yet, I remain committed to helping those families and seniors that need our help now, all over Delta. I will not accept having our community members that are relying on the City of Surrey serve resources for food and other living essentials. Council has approved a motion to have the mayor develop a program to provide those Delta parents and seniors that need to have the ability to obtain food, clothing, and living essentials, having this available right here in our city. Myself as mayor and the entire chief for Delta Council and school trustees are committed to moving Delta forward. We can ensure that Delta...
Sorry. 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 2 minutes. Sorry. Okay. We have 2 minutes.
I, Jubinder Randhawa, wants Delta a safe community and all aspects of life, from all aspects of life. And my seniors in Delta need to be looked after, and I am for them. As well as the youth needs affordable housing they need. And of course, I have one plan in mind, that's sky train to be connecting Ladder, Tawasan, and BC Ferry Terminal, as well as to Richmond from Ladder. But this will be in planning. And with the feedback of people from all the silos, like we are living, Delta, North, Western and South Delta, Ladder. So we will take the feedback from people and we will finalize about that planning. If the people say no, it will be no. If they say yes, it will be yes. Because I want to see Delta fast growing community with lot of economy in growth in our Delta. And I also want to see Delta as a touristic resort for the world. We have sea all around us. We can make an underwater observatory and make a wooden bridge even to that, glass observatory, and we can earn a lot of money by tourism. Also, furthermore, I will say, we have to do more for our citizens and against crime. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Peter, you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, having listened to this afternoon to all the comments, I think I'm going to have to change my closing comments. I'd say that housing is probably the issue in our communities. And sadly, all I've heard this evening is talk about market-priced housing. As a council, we have tools at our disposal that can handle other forms of housing, and I think we need to look at that. We need to look at cooperatives. We need to look at how we can use our Board of Variance to actually get developers to take care of some of our needs of lower-income housing. I mean, when we're talking about lower income, we're talking about people less than $50,000 a year. Minimum wage is about $28,000 a year. People can't afford to pay the rent when they're doing that. The other thing that I'm kind of interested to hear is that our current council members and mayor talk about an open and accessible policy. I'm from Tawasa, quite active, I'm socially active, and my emails have never been responded to, so I think that that's a real problem. There's a lot of anger out there, and that's driven by the pandemic, by the supply chain issues, and now the Ukraine war. And that anger is largely directed at government. And I'm offering to freeze taxes for 2 years and give a quarter of my salary back to the community for those 2 years in order to offer people some level of faith in a new council. And I think that the record that Mr. Harvey has, he says that he keeps taxes low. We've had an increase of taxes probably an average of about 3% at least for the 12 years or so while I've lived here. What I feel strongly about is the dangers of the and environmental hazards presented by the Tilbury proposals for expansion. And I think we all need to educate ourselves. Natural gas, which is methane, is not cleaner than coal. It's not cleaner than diesel fuel. Okay, it needs to be out of here, and we cannot develop it the way our current council is planning.
All right, thank you. At this time, I'm just going to ask the three candidates to step down, and then we're back to the three candidates for their closing statement. Do you want to stand? Or you can just stand where you are and you can have the mic. Does that work?
Okay.
And then everybody
just gets 1 minute. Just turn around, please. Okay. So I want to say it again. Independent voice. Okay, so song was on, I don't know what happened. Okay, can you hear me now?
No.
Not yet?
It's green.
Yeah, hold it right to your mouth.
Okay. How is it now?
Still not.
Something is wrong there. What's happening?
From the wireless.
Turn it on. Can you hear me? It's not my phone. Yeah, okay. Right. So, can I start? Born again. What's your name? Hello? Okay. I want to say this again. Independent voices should be heard in council. I'm standing to be that independent voice of reason and common sense in council. I served this community for 22 years, and I want to continue to serve this community. In closing, I want to say this. I care for Delta. I am committed to the residents of Delta. I have courage to debate the tough issues in council. So, caring, commitment, and courage are the CCC principles that I will be working with in council. That's me, caring, commitment, and courage. So on the 15th of October, I ask for your vote to be that independent voice. Thank you.
In 2018, as part of the Achieving for Delta team, I was elected as a school trustee for the Delta Board of Education. I currently sit as vice chair of the board. I'm proud of the work that we were able to achieve alongside my fellow trustees to ensure that the limited funds we were provided were used to deliver high quality education to the students of Delta. This was done through many hours of collaboration, building consensus, before making decisions. If elected as a counselor to the city of Delta, I promise to work objectively and to always listen to many points of view and finally to foster consensus before arriving at a decision. On October 15th, please vote for me, Daniel Boisvert, and my entire Achieving for Delta team. Thank you.
When voting, think of me, Brian Reed, born and raised in North Delta, owns and operates a small business in Delta. I've lived my entire life in North Delta. Delta has provided for me and my family every day, and now it's time for me to provide back for the community. On October 15th, please support local and vote for me, Brian Reed.
Thank you for having me out today, to the organizers, everyone running, and the audience. Thank you for being here. I'm a counselor that is fair, does her homework, listens to the community, and stands up for her beliefs, even when it's hard to do so. If reelected, I will continue to be Delta's link to the agriculture community, its environment, and protecting our natural assets. I will keep supporting our seniors, investing in our youth, and our parks and recreation facilities. I am a mother, a farmer, and a small business owner, and I have grown up embedded in this community. I am committed to listening, learning, and acting on issues that matter most to you, and take it one project at a time.
I'm no stranger to hard work, and I promise to keep working hard for Delta, and I hope my last 4 years have shown you that. On October 15th, vote for me, Leshi Kishan, your farmer on council, and the entire Achieving for Delta slate.
Ready? I already introduced myself as Monica, and the one thing I didn't hear through anyone is the fiscal responsibility. As a business owner for 33 years alone in a very completely male-dominated field, it's been really, really important to be fiscally responsible and look at the finances every month. This council just approved a $600,000 bathroom, one bathroom. I don't know what it's going to look like, but $600,000 for one bathroom is more than a condo, that a one-bedroom condo with a bathroom. So I think I bring the fiscal responsibility analysis to the council. Also, to have some transparency, I hear the council say they've put in 10,000 trees. They have not told us how many they've allowed to go down. There is no law in Delta that if your trees die, your responsibility is to take that tree down. You don't have to put any more in. We have four dead trees on our property. None have to be placed, replaced, built, put in to replace them. I'm being red flagged. Vote for me. Thank you.
Take the big stage here. Thank you, everybody, for coming out today. Thank you to the Delta Residents Association for this and Christina for being our host. My community experience in volunteering has allowed me to engage with countless Delta residents and business leaders. My intimate exposure to Delta's recreational, development, public safety, and social fabric has provided a tremendous perspective and education. I feel this equips and positions me to now guide Delta's plans and priorities. I'm running with a commitment to bring a thoughtful, intentional, independent, community-advised approach to addressing challenges with development, social service delivery, and continued improvement of Delta's parks and recreation infrastructure. As a longtime resident of Delta, I truly care about the unique and so many ways a diverse community we have. I'm eager to listen, guide, and be part of the future. I want a community that is safe and vibrant, which keeps young families and seniors in Delta. On October 18th, and in the advance polls coming October 1st, I ask you to vote for my whole team of Achieving for Delta and myself, Rod Binder. Thank you.
All right. So, vote for Julian. Here's why. I want to talk about the housing crisis a little bit. I think at the end of the day, I don't think anybody really wants houses to become affordable. Everybody, or a lot of people, own properties. And I think that that is actually kind of a good thing. I want to give more property rights to people. And I don't think that the solution is to reduce prices of homes. I think that the solution is to reduce the amount of barriers to entry to actually own equity in these properties. And there's solutions out there that we're not looking at, especially some technological solutions, like if we were to tokenize land or tokenize properties, which will allow people who are renting to actually become owners. So that's one of the major focuses that I want to focus on, I guess, is housing and kind of get over this idea that everyone comes up here and says that they want prices to go down. We want it to be affordable for everyone. Vote for Julian.
Yeah, I gotta stand up here, I'm short, even in heels. So I invite you to picture a Delta full of greenery and birdsong, with residents of every age strolling and cycling through public gardens and along waterway paths in our three towns, with housing that is affordable and sustainable, built according to currently existing sustainability certification standards, with living roofs, abundant rain gardens, and plenty of below-market rental and co-op units, with parking lots that double as parks via grid-stabilized all-grass surfacing and central tree public squares, with local businesses thriving through the addition of green gather and linger spaces, an ecotourism economy, and localized e-commerce platforms modeled on the UK's near street platform,
with farmers who have resilient production and income through crop diversification and agritourism, with a responsive council guided by an engaged public, a Delta that serves as a model to the world of successful eco-suburban development. We can get there from here, but only if we're pointed in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you again. Delta has been home for my family for 40 years. My children were raised, schooled in Delta. In the last 3 decades, hundreds of parents have been entrusted the future of their young boys and girls in my care to help them become the model students, good athletes, and ideal civic citizens. I say it with the great pride. Not one of them has disappointed with my mentorship or guidance. If elected with your support, I will advocate for a safe, healthy, and active lifestyles in our wonderful community of Delta. On October 15th, please vote for me and for entire Achieving for Delta team. Thank you.
I've learned a lot just listening here and seeing people out here. I encourage everybody to tell your friends to go and vote, and let's get a bigger percent of people voting. The only thing I can say is if I get elected, I will do everything possible and give anybody answers to questions they might have. Delta has a website, but it's not necessarily easy to transfer through. A lot of things are made complex because it costs money to do it instead of having simple answers. All through my working life, I've been able to give answers to people, to solve problems, and that's all I can do and all I can say. But thank you very much for having me up here, and have a nice afternoon.
Well, thank you again to the organizers for having us today and for all of you for being here. In 2018, I was privileged to be elected as the youngest city councilor to serve in Delta history. I'm proud of the work that I was able to achieve along with Mayor Harvey and our team to give young families a voice on council to make Delta more livable, safer, healthier, and more inclusive. While COVID interrupted some of our work, I feel that we have a lot more to do to accomplish our goals for the city. A re-elected Achieving for Delta team will build a second artificial turf field at Mackey Park. We're going to work to resurface the Siakam track, building on our track record with the North Delta Secondary School track. And we're going to put a cover on the North Delta outdoor pool, expanding the usability of that asset from 2 months of the year to 12 months of the year. We're also going to continue to hold every second meeting of council in North Delta to make local government more accessible to all residents in our community. On October 15th, I'm asking for your support for Dylan Kruger for council and for our entire Achieving for Delta team. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here today.
All right, thank you so much for everybody to come out this afternoon. I want to thank again the volunteers to help make this meeting a success. And thank you especially for the candidates for running this election. Democracy will not work if nobody steps up to the plate to do the hard work of governing. Now, from your responses, that we, the people of Delta, can more easily make an informed choice as to who we want to vote for on October 15th. So once again, I'd like to say thank you to the candidates. Now, once again, we had more questions than time to answer them all, so I will be emailing all of you this evening with the rest of the questions and posting the results on our website by this Friday. Also, I have a video, audio recording and a partial video recording. We'll try to get that on YouTube as soon as possible as well. Hosting this event has been funded by membership fees and donations. If you would like to support a group, please consider buying a membership. You can see Carl at the front desk for that or making a donation. Also, if you want to sign up for a free newsletter, which I publish monthly, then you will just be kept informed for things that are happening that are important issues to us. Also, Kathleen is here today, and she will be setting up her display and answering any questions you have about small homes on smaller lots at the front desk. And I have asked all the candidates to stay till at least 3 o'clock today, so if you want to run up here and speak to any of them, they are all here. Unfortunately, Stephen's son was not able to be here. He sends his regrets, and so has Jennifer Joval. She was not able to be here. She sends her regrets as well. Thank you once again for coming, and I really appreciate all your support.
You're keeping democracy alive.
Thank you for running. I was just kind of sad and depressed when you